Thank you for your invitation again. Thank you for not just for myself and just the name Operation Mobilisation, but I'd say thank you on behalf of nearly 6,000 people who are serving and working with OM, and probably nearly 20 to 30,000 others who've come through the doors at different parts over the last 60, nearly 70 years in which it's been functioning. Operation Mobilisation was birthed, like I say, just shy of 70 years, 68, if you want to be precise. It had its 60th birthday in 2017. Its founder, George Verwa, is now singing praises in glory. And his vision was for the whole world. I bring out the world with me in more ways than one today. I'm going to try and do some fun. Are you into fun? You sure? Are you into fun? I mean, you look very serious there. Okay, well, I'll try to put it into. I'm going to focus on Timothy as well. I'll set that passage from our set reading from the lectionary today because I think it's so fabulous. We all have a part to play in the global mission of the church. In Matthew's Gospel, then at the end of Luke and Mark, they record Jesus telling his disciples, tasking them to take on the mission, the ministry that he established. Jesus was sharing for those three amazing years right there in the Middle East. Go on to our globe in the Middle East at the end of the Mediterranean there. A nation, an area that has known nothing really but strife, conflict. We know still, even in the recent days and weeks and months, of the heartache for thousands of people. Jesus commissioned his disciples. We are disciples of disciples of disciples. We represent one small nation. Don't know where you're all from. I will not ask you because we'll not have enough time to work out exact locations. Anybody who was born outside of the UK, if you want to raise your hands, anybody? That's one. Is that two? So we have global representation. A world, and it's an amazing place. One of the big focuses, Africa is a very, very diverse nation with many, many needs. OM is working right across with many African nations, so desperately needing many people to go out there to work in a variety of projects. Then Russia and all of that band of the world, Central Asia, bordering onto China, above India, the Himalayas, vast areas. Many people do not have a church or a Bible that they can read. They've never even heard of the person Jesus. Much of a big, big place of need. So I'll leave that there. In fact, tell you what, bounce that about because you're going to need this. You ready? But a world isn't an anonymous place. How this is going to work, I do not know. This is where I'm going to show myself up. Anybody recognise that flag? South Africa. So I'm going to start with South Africa. I think these are the Commonwealth nations, not quite the globe. But let's pass those around. Well, that's moving around. Let me just encourage you. I brought a table of resources in the church hall. So after coffee, come and talk with me about what I've got. Principle OM is to live out love. have the globe and we have the nation's flags. You're going to need some intelligence, but it doesn't have to be neat and tidy. But OM is about living out love. The love of Jesus, the love of God. It's primary focus. Look at that, it looks so amazing as we go around. As you look at all those flags going around, think of God's love for each of those nations, a world of 8 billion people, nearly 2.5 billion people acknowledged God and Jesus, read the Bible, and will be part of church today. Our world is a very diverse place. That looks fine. I haven't done a risk assessment with this. So be aware this could be a trip hazard if you move around. That's fine, leave it like that. There's supposed to be over 200 individual flags. I can see the USA, Canada, Sweden. One is India. I'm trying to remember the crescent and the star that you've got. I think one is one North Korea. Then one next to it you've got is a Christmas tree. I'm calling it a Christmas tree, but I'm probably... Oh, Christmas Island. Yes. Okay, we've got all the flags. We've got our world. We know it's about love. Operation Mobilization is about short-term missions, fundamentally. Many of us done 2-3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. Gone part of the mission, been part of it, learnt a different culture. Some of those flags have come to mean a great deal for different people. They've gone out of where their own country is, say the United Kingdom, and gone to another part of the world. Principally, just share the good news. And they've done that whether it's through relief to those who are refugees, to those who are struggling in poverty, through sport, through kids and youth work, through creative art and music. It's amazing you have some creative ministry here with the music, even the IT. But many people have gone on then to long term. Many people in OM have gone on long term, and almost it's become their principal career as they've served. So there's plenty of short term opportunity, but there's also lots of opportunity long term. We have many people within OM being part of it for several years, part of its culture, know what they're doing, serving in many parts of the world where there's some desperate need. First, to share the good news of our Lord, to spread the word of God. But the second thing is to look in how to share that in love through deed. But OM is also about training. It's a big reach ministry to get people equipped. It's got two bonuses. It benefits the individual. It enables them to go into many parts of the country, world where you see our flags. But it also benefits people when they return to the home church. They're strengthened, they're more able to get into gear for going out, sharing the gospel. Many people put, there's conversations going whether the UK is experiencing what we call a quiet revival. things are happening that we're not too sure which direction. Some churches are coming alive. There's many new churches are being started up. But there's many, many things happening. But OM has been part of training people up, ready to share the good news, and then offering opportunities. There's opportunities in the UK. I'll talk about those in a minute, and some exciting news. There's gap year. Many people, especially coming out of university, or young people are saying, what do I do next? And it's getting harder and harder for young people to do that next thing. There's a chance for people to just take a year out. Maybe some more older people, if you those of you who've reached retirement, and I'm not making any assumption of age, because none of you look above 26. So there's gap years. Then the big thing that everyone knows about OM, when I say Operation Mobilisation, is the ships, Logos and the Doulos. Logos Hope and the Doulos Hope. The exciting thing is, from next year, I don't have the exact dates, it's from just after Easter, but the Logos Hope is coming to the UK. It's going to be coming up into London. We tried to get it to come into Dover, but they kind of couldn't work it into the schedule. But it is coming to the UK and going to come up into Dartford area, and we'll be berthing somewhere on there, if God willing. So that one of the ships is coming in, so you can shoot up by train, go and visit the ship, see what it's all about. That's one of another element of OM. For those of you just bordering 65, 70, you may just get involved. It's a race across Europe. Various people, it's primarily aimed at students and younger people, but there are groups of older people said, could we be part of it? But basically catching the train, linking in with different churches throughout Europe and sharing your faith and learning what God's doing throughout different parts of what I still refer as our continent. And then for any teenagers, Teen Street, a great opportunity to develop the faith, learn about the global world, doing things like we've done here today. Have you got your brains all in gear? Because I've got some cards. I want to need some helpers, four people. Anybody willing to come and volunteer? It's my, come on, you two. Just two more as well. Anybody else want to come and volunteer? Tell you what, I'll give you a pack of cards. We're going to ask people questions. Flick through the cards. Right, take a pack. It's not quite even. What I want you to do is find a card, any card in that pack that you've been given. Take one out. Have a look at it yourself, but don't show anybody. There's certain things on there, population, the flag, size of the country, whether it's next to any other country. What I want you to do is pick one fact on that card. We're going to ask people and see if they can guess, if they can identify a flag or tell us the name, but don't give too much of a clue out of the actual nation. So we start with you. One fact on your card you think people may answer correctly. You can describe the colour of the flag, but not...
It's green and white.
Nigeria. Well done. Okay, get that. Just tell us the rest of the facts of Nigeria, then.
So it's, the area is 923,000 kilometres, square kilometres. The highest point is 2.419 metres.
Go and choose a fact and describe the flag.
Neighbouring countries are five, and the red the flag has red and yellow in it.
Read the rest of facts of Spain.
The area is 505,995 square kilometres. It's got a population 3,715 metres.
Wow. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, do you want to use the microphone?
It's got six neighbouring countries and the flag is green, white and red.
The red is a crescent. Begins with A. Oh, come on, tell them the rest of the facts.
Its highest point is 3,003 metres. The area is 2,381,751 kilometres square. And the population is 47.4 million. Algeria.
Go on then.
It's got 59 million people and the flag's green, white and red.
They've got a very good football team.
Yeah.
Go on, read the rest of the facts.
The area is one... The area is 301,336 kilometres.
Square.
The highest point is 4,810 metres. Neighbouring countries, six.
Okay, thank you. Time's against us, so we can't do any more, but thank you for all what you've read out. Give them a round of applause. Countries of our world. It's not just mere facts. It's people. People, in one sense, like you and me. I've lost my globe, but it's people created in the image of God. I love what you put onto your new sheet, what your motto for your church, Walmer Baptist Church, a Christian community for the community, in the community. We live in a world of diversity, of disunity, of conflict and war. George Verwer was well versed in the whole issue of conflict. One thing many people join OM, especially the ships, because they're living in such close confinement, they join up and think, oh, we're going to have a great time. It's a Christian community. It's worship. It's prayer. And within about 6 hours, they realise they're living with human beings. George Verwer's book, a little book, it's about the only one I think I've got, there's a couple, but disunity. Just simple message, find love, live out love, work out the principles of love. It's been the heartbeat of OM. It's on the book table, only got two books on the ship. One is the Logos and one is the Doulos. All the books, basically just donation, no price on them, so don't worry. We're going to hear, as I look into Timothy, where Jesus tells us to go. And if you can't go, send someone else. To get to the heartbeat of OM, time's against me to share really that full heartbeat. But it's about living real, authentic discipleship. Peter Maiden, one of the long-standing directors of OM, until a few years ago, one of his major books was that on discipleship, what it is to be a disciple. We are disciples of disciples of disciples. Whether we've been part of a family that's been Christians for years or whether we've come to faith because someone shared of it, we are disciples. And as we look into what Paul said to Timothy, we'll come to understand that people pass on the hope, just as Jesus passed it to his disciples passed it on to somebody else. All the flags of nations of people, many needing and desperately longing for hope, the hope of love, the hope of amazing God. Hunger for reality, very much again, the heartbeat. This is one of George Verwer's, basically it's one of his sermons. It's basically, a challenge was grow and be hungry for God and live out that reality through the fruit of the Spirit. Live it out in word and deed. If you do struggle, and let's be honest with each other, it can be a struggle. It's ups and downs. And as we'll see within Timothy, I'm going to look at the old chapter 4. The lectionary just based a couple of verses from each part. But to get the crux of it, Paul shares he was going through some rough stuff. And when he was sharing about to Timothy, about passing it on, encouraging Timothy to go forward, Timothy was like a son to Paul. Paul says in his two letters to Timothy, right at the beginning of each one, my dear son, my son that I beloved, he really, really loved Timothy and wanted Timothy to go forward. But Paul was well aware that being a Christian is like life on a Calvary road. It's not easy. It is literally a cross that we bear. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. People will oppose us. People will challenge us. And yet, there is always hope. And the hope comes as we enter a lifetime, a commitment to pray. To pray continually. For prayer to become everyday part of our reality. To be mindful that God is with us all the time. We in the West are so spoilt with so many other resources. I don't have these on my book table, but we get so many illustrations and so many books, just the different faces of Jesus. We're given so much freedom and liberty to strengthen and encourage our faith. What we believe about God shapes who we become. God has a name. It's a fabulous book. It's only just really come out. It just talks about the different names of God. It starts with Yahweh, goes through things like Father. But what we believe about God is so important. And in a sense, this is the very heartbeat of the message that we try and share within OM. Got plenty of these fresh off the press. Our latest magazine, Global, do encourage you to take a copy. Got plenty there for you to take, almost one each. It's also in there, it's our prayer guide. Just encourage you to pray for Operation Mobilisation. Time's against me, so I'd try and just fly through some key points in Timothy chapter 4. It's an amazing chapter. And basically, the one thing I learned from Paul, two words, and I guess if you remember nothing else, convinced, convicted. Paul was so convinced about his faith. And we see that throughout what he shares with Timothy in that chapter. Right from verse 1 of chapter 4. That Paul is so convinced of who Jesus is, of the very presence of God. That Paul, throughout many of his other writings, you only need to read John chapter 16 and verse 8 that talks about God's kingdom, of who Jesus is. Paul would have been so familiar at that point of writing his letter to Timothy of some of the gospels that were in circulation. But Paul is so convinced and convicted by the kingdom of God where Jesus is King, Lord, and Judge. His faith is based on sharing the hope of God's love, but he's no fool to those who may not acknowledge that. As you go into the next verse, in verse 2, Paul is so convinced and convicted by the need to preach the word of God. He just starts it, preach the word, be ready in and out of season. One of the things we often talk about within OM in our prayer meetings when we're on mission teams is to pray for divine opportunity. Paul was always ready to share his faith. Galatians 1, verse 6 to 10 is another example of Paul being ready to share the gospel, the good news, to proclaim God's love, to show why Christ died on the cross. Point 3, convinced and convicted. Paul was so convinced and convicted by the need for sound teaching and good doctrine. In verse 3, he's so aware of a time when people would just go into anything and everything, following all sorts of myth and problems. And Paul was convinced that they needed to stay true to what was being preached, of God's love, of the hope that comes, being aware that God is the ultimate judge, that this is about kingdom living, the kingdom of God, God's rule. It's not being part of this world, but it's living in this world, but living by God's decree. Again, Paul carries this on into verse 4. We're so convinced and convicted by the need for truth and avoidance of myth. When you look today through all the different things, people will almost believe everything and anything. At times within many of our churches, we get distracted by all the latest fads and fashions. But it's important that we stay firm to the real truth of our message. God's love, commitment to discipleship, to holy living, to pray continually, to share in fellowship with one another. And then in verse 5, Paul is convinced and convicted by the need for evangelists. People who share the faith. People who are confident of an inner reality of their connection and living out their faith, to simply share it as part of everyday conversation. Point six, Paul was convinced and convicted by the promise of a reward and a crown for those who run the race and remain faithful in all of its ups and downs. Life can be a struggle. Earlier on in the second letter of Timothy, in verse 16, 6 to verse 4, especially verse 12, Paul is just talking about the struggles that he had. But his security, he knew the goal. He knew where the race would go. Fixing our eyes on the cross. Cross on that banner there, such love. To keep our eyes on that thing, end thing. The day when we cast our crowns before God. It's two more points. Paul was convinced and convicted for the need for loyal and dependable support. In verses 9 to 15, Paul talks of many people that he relied on who fell away from faith. We need to be part of a community. You look an amazing bunch of people. We need each other. We need to encourage each other when we're down, to share love amongst one another, to lift each other up. Because it's only by being a community, living out your motto, not just in words, but in action. And then finally, the thing that kept Paul going, and you only need to read many other parts where Paul wrote, Romans 8:38-39, Philippians 1:27-30, where Paul talks about the struggles of his faith, struggles of life, things that confronted him as he tried to share his faith. But Paul was convinced and convicted of a God who supports, strengthens and sustains us. And that as he ends that chapter, as he ends his two letters to Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy to be reminded that God will rescue us from all the wickedness and evil of our world, giving us a crown of hope that we can live and face the future in God's love, strength. It's not dependent on us. Our focus should be in heaven. So I wrap up. We've travelled the world virtually, if not in reality. We've learnt and familiarised ourselves with many of the nations. Some of you, just on basic description, knew those nations instantly. Well done. But it's not just a globe, an inflatable ball. It's not just pieces of cloth with fancy colours. It's people. People that are made in the image of God. Jesus challenges us to go. No one is too young in this. We're challenged to make disciples. Try encourage others to show God's love. The simplest thing you can do is pray. Take hold of the Operation Mobilization magazine. Sign up and receive it in the post. Receive our prayer guide. The simplest, pray. And if you can't go, send somebody else. Find somebody you know can go in your place and support them. OM's motto over the years has been very simple. Pray. Go. And give. Paul gives us many questions. He tells us what he's convinced of, why he believes what he believes. He tells us of how his faith convicts him so much. And finally, the encouragement is that God is always there, he's waiting and ready, he's more than able. That Paul powerfully demonstrates the amazing God who is there, ready. Yes, we may feel old, we may feel frail, but we are called to consider our legacy, to hand on to that next generation, to tell them of our own conviction, of God's love, of how we're convinced that God is more than able and to care in amazing abundance. All I can say is go ye into all the world and proclaim the good news of our Lord and Saviour. That is Operation Mobilisation. It does it in word and deed. Thank you for your time. It was a great resource at the back, and may God bless you all.